When they got back, they saw Roland and Jake running toward the meeting hall with armloads of decaying lumber and splintered chunks of wood. Still well across the river, but definitely closer, came those low, crumping explosions as trees in the path of the Stark Blast yanked themselves inward toward their tender cores. Oi was in the middle of the overgrown high street, turning and turning. Susanna tipped herself out of her wheelchair, landed neatly on her hands, and began crawling toward the meeting house. "What the hell are you doing?" Eddie asked. "You can carry more wood in the chair. Pile it high. I'll get Roland to give me his flint and steel and get a fire going. But mind me, Eddie, let me do what I can, and put your shirt back on. I know it's wet, but it'll keep you from getting scratched up." He did so, then turned the chair, tilted it on its big back wheels, and pushed it toward the nearest likely source of fuel. As he passed Roland, he gave the gunslinger Susanna's message. Roland nodded and kept running, peering over his armload of wood. The three of them went back and forth without speaking, gathering wood against the cold on this weirdly warm afternoon. The path of the beam in the sky was temporarily gone, because all the clouds were in motion, rolling away to the southeast. Susanna had gotten a fire going, and it roared beastly up the chimney. The big downstairs room had a huge jumble of wood in the center, some with rusty nails poking out. So far, none of them had been cut or punctured, but Eddie thought it was just a matter of time. He tried to remember when he'd last had a tetanus shot and couldn't. As for Roland, he thought, his blood would probably kill any germ the second it dared show its head inside that leather bag he calls skin. "What are you smiling about?" Jake asked. The words came out in little out-of-breath gasps. The arms of his shirt were filthy and covered with splinters. There was a long smutch of dirt on his forehead. "Nothing much, little hero. Watch out for rusty nails. One more load each and we'd better call it good. It's close."
"Okay."
The thuds were on their side of the river now, and the air, although still warm, had taken on a queer, thick quality. Eddie loaded up Susanna's wheelchair a final time and trundled it back toward the meeting house. Jake and Roland were ahead of him. He could feel heat baking out of the open door. "It better get cold," he thought, "or we're going to fucking roast in there." Then, as he waited for the two ahead of him to turn sideways so they could get their loads of lumber inside, a thin and pervasive screaming joined the pops and thuds of contracting wood. It made the hair bristle on the nape of Eddie's neck. The wind coming toward them sounded alive and in agony. The air began to move again. First it was warm, then cool enough to dry the sweat on his face, then cold. This happened in a matter of seconds. The creepy screech of the wind was joined by a fluttering sound that made Eddie think of the plastic pennants you sometimes saw strung around used car lots. It ramped up to a whirr, and leaves began to blow off the trees, first in bundles and then in sheets. The branches thrashed against clouds that were lensing darker, even as he looked at them, mouth agape. "Oh, shit," he said, and ran the wheelchair straight at the door. For the first time in 10 trips, it stuck. The planks he'd stacked across the chair's arms were too wide. With any other load, the ends would have snapped off with the same soft, almost apologetic sound the bucket handle had made, but not this time. Oh, no, not now that the storm was almost here. Was nothing in Midworld ever easy? He reached over the back of the chair to shove the longest boards aside, and that's when Jake shouted, "Oi! Oi's still out there! Oi! To me!" Oi took no notice. He had stopped his turning. Now he only sat with his snout raised toward the coming storm, his gold-ringed eyes fixed and dreamy.